Hey, everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 6, episode 2, 2021, already halfway over the month of January. Can you believe that almost? It's what, January 11th as we record this? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This year is going so fast. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We are going to defeat COVID-19 and kick its ass. Steph is already on the way. You had your second shot. Tell us about it.
I did. Second time, they sent me to the Lawrenceville Health Center. Not nearly as many chickens running around on the floor in there.
Oh, yeah?
It felt a lot more hygienic. But they were on top of it. Because, you know, the first shot, it was new. Nobody knew what was going on. It was crazy. But this time, when I showed up, they had me pull a ticket. I was back.
Like a deli.
Yeah. I mean, my appointment was at 10:50. I got there at 10:45, and I was out of there by 11:12.
Now, what company made this shot that you took?
That's the Pfizer one.
The Pfizer one. And you didn't have any, mini strokes, Bell palsy, or you didn't grow a dick, or?
Well, no, unfortunately.
You did have the urge to upgrade all your computers to Windows 10, though.
I did, yeah. Now I find myself just dreaming of Bill Gates every night. He just hovers over my face.
Is that what that's what the vaccine does? It makes you want Windows 10. I was using Windows 10 yesterday at my parents' house, and it's confusing. Anyway, so it was was the shot painless? Is it easy? Tell us about it.
Yeah, the shot's painless. I had, the first time I got the shot, my arm was really sore the next day. Like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a tetanus shot, how sore you are.
Oh, yeah. You're sore for a couple days.
Yeah. It was like that. And now this time, it was even less. It was a little sore, but not really. And I mean, I'm trying to, and if you saw my little video that I did, we are having so many people at my job and just other places where they don't want to get it. They're afraid to get it. Mm. And so trying to spread my experience, around and let people know that it's okay. My cousin in West Virginia, she's had both shots. She's fine. My aunt in Michigan's had both. She's fine. My sister's had her first one. She's fine. I don't know anybody who's had any reactions. All the physicians at my job have had it, both shots. They're all fine.
So what does it mean now that you've had both shots? So that means you're immune?
No. As of this coming Saturday, that will be 7 days since I had the second injection.
Yeah.
So as of this coming Saturday, I should be 95% protected against getting it.
Okay.
For how long?
It's supposed to be forever. This is like a one-time inoculation. And it's supposed
to... You still have to wear a mask because you don't want to spread it around. You got to wear that mask. That's all I'm saying.
Dr. Fauci, you're not wrong. Because from what I understand, I will still have to wear the mask because other people are not vaccinated.
That's right. That's right. And if you spread it, look, you can't. I mean, that doesn't really make any sense, but okay.
It lives in your, I can't catch it, or I'll have a very slim chance of catching COVID. However, I can still be like a ride for COVID. It can hitchhike on me and I can bring it and give it to you.
Thumb goes up, a car goes by, I'm hitching a ride.
It does. It rests in your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I exhaled out, you know, it can just jump out and get you.
More importantly, the bags of groceries that I'm bringing in from the car, are they coated with it? No, I think they've proven that you can't, it's not carried on surfaces. So that's good news, right?
If that was the case, I think everybody would catch it from, Uber Eats or...
Oh, shit.
DoorDash.
Speaking of Uber Eats, well, I'm glad that you've had both shots. If you're able to get it, go get it. I mean, there's what, two of them now and a third on the way. There's Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and then another one, Johnson & Johnson, has been approved yet. And that one's more of a traditional one. So look, we're not vaccine people. We're not virus people, but we do know that a lot of people are worried about it. And if it's available to you, go get it. I heard today on the news that you're 65 and older in Georgia. You can sign up now to get it. So, tell your parents, you want to see your parents. Have them get it. You get it. Go see your family. It's been too damn long, right?
Exactly. And the more people...
Unless you can't stand them.
Well, one other thing, too, is like, of course, everybody's sharing this news story of this one doctor that died. They haven't even gotten an autopsy back yet. They don't know exactly what killed him.
Mm-hmm. And he's might have been autoerotic asphyxiation. You don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? And he's one out of millions of people that have already had it. So I don't. The chances are that there's people that had the polio vaccine back in the day and they died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to happen. There's going to be some little bit of a mortality rate, but I feel like it's much less than if you don't get it.
And you know, there's signs that things are changing, like New York State's Governor Cuomo allowing, by the way, you know, up to 7,000 people were at the Rich Stadium, whatever it's called now, Buffalo Bills Stadium in Orchard Park, New York, to watch the Buffalo Bills barely defeat when they play. Oh yeah, the Indianapolis Colts, and it's like a Super Bills playoff game because the coach of the Bills is Frank Reich, and he was a part of that 4-year stretch when the Bills lost 4 in a row. Part of that biggest comeback ever in playoff history against the Houston Oilers. But I was excited to see my Bills finally win a playoff game. First time in 25 years, I believe. Yeah. So,
congrats.
And I didn't go out on the porch to smoke a cigarette and then come back in to see that they lost at the very last second due to the Music City Miracle. Remember that, Jeff?
The Music City Miracle?
Yeah, we were at our buddy Travis's house. He had just done this beer, and you made a label for it, and it was called Hardcock Amberbach, and you'd put the chicken on it and everything. It looked really cool, and we were having a good day watching football. It looked like the game was over, and the Bills had to kick off to the Titans, and I go out to have a cigarette. I come back, and the Bills had lost because of a forward pass. Not a lateral. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. They're in the playoffs, and I'm excited. And sorry if your team's not in the playoffs.
But the Jets are smoking.
The Lions aren't in the playoffs, and that's sad. The Giants had a chance, but they couldn't pull it off. And Dustin, I don't know who you root for. Falcons?
I don't root.
You don't care?
No. I played football from age 5 to age 15, and from that point on, I didn't care anymore.
What'd you play?
I was a guard, right guard. Mm-hmm. 5-year-old right guard that was guard. You know, 3 foot nothing.
Jeff, you were an offensive tackle, right?
And defense.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They played offense and defense. And
they put Jeff on the line, of course.
I went to a couple of football practices, and then I saw what they do to people, and I got scared and walked home.
I used to play with my cousins. We played full contact when I was a teenager, and I used to love doing it because I was a hoss. Get out there and I'd be right on the line. I'd hit as hard as I could.
What did they yell at you at your high school graduation? Heifer or cow? Beaver? Oh, okay, sorry. What'd they call you?
He hasn't really affected you much.
No. Well, anyway, go Bills, and congratulations to the Cleveland Browns, who hadn't been in the playoffs in a very long time either, and in 2 weeks managed to destroy Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. It was pretty weird, that first game.
And they didn't think that they were going to have a chance. Like, it wasn't like the whole team out with COVID, like half the Browns or something.
Speaking of the Bills, Alex Van Pelt, who was a backup quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in the he's a part of the coaching staff for the Browns, and boy, for not being prepared or having a coach or being able to practice, they kicked the shit out of the Steelers pretty handily. They started, you know, letting the Steelers score points in the second half, but they did manage, and that's too bad the Steelers didn't make it. I think Big Ben's going to come around for one more season. He hasn't said.
Roethlisberger.
Yeah, he's going to be spending the offseason in, what was that, Milledgeville?
I think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the end of the sports and end of the COVID conversation. So this weekend I ordered a pizza. You guys ever had Savage Pizza from Little Five Points?
I have not. I've walked past there I don't know how many times and never had it.
It is really, really good. Now I'm going to give you an example of customer service nightmares from this weekend. I ordered they have one in Avondale Estates. Which is where our coffee buddy has a store. And sometimes I go over there and get coffee. It's pretty darn good. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Well, Banjo.
That's right. Yeah, when you walk in there, they got a toothless guy.
Really do that drink, sir.
So I ordered it, a pizza from Savage Pizza in Avondale Estates, which is kind of between Tucker and Decatur. Anyway, the Uber Eats driver gets to the location and they didn't have my order. So she had to place the order for me. That's strike one. I ordered pepperoni and sausage. It showed up with pepperoncini and sausage, strike two. And it was undercooked and terrible. And I couldn't believe it because I've never, ever in my life had a bad pizza from that place. But I guess just don't order it through Uber Eats. So yesterday, anyway, so I got my money back, which is nice because usually Uber Eats ignores you if you complain. At least that's my experience. So yesterday I went out to my parents' house, and which is about 40 miles west of where I live. And I stopped at a Dunkin' Donuts in, it's called Hiram, Georgia. And I stopped at a Dunkin' Donuts there. And I pull up to the drive-thru and I'm looking at the thing and the lady goes, I hear this, yeah. Come out of the box. Yeah. Do you have any Butter Crunch donuts? No. Oh. Let's see. All right. How about a coconut donut? Yeah. All right. I'll have that. All right. Pull around. No. I'm not done yet. What else? Let's see. I would like a large coffee with light cream and sugar. No, light cream. Pull around. I pull around, and as I'm pulling up to the window, she has her hand out of the window with the donut bag.
Oh, yeah, I love that treatment. It's the best.
And I get it, and I hand her my card, and I get the coffee, and I look, and of course, the coffee looks like it looks like a cup of milk. That's how much cream was in there. And I started to complain, but she was just so rude. And I didn't say anything. And when I was done and the transaction had been taken care of, I looked right at her and I said, "You're a very unpleasant woman. I hope you have a shitty day." Now, that wasn't very nice. But still, you know, you go through a drive-through, you expect somebody to be nice. So then I go to Google and they have nothing but negative reviews. So I left one. I hate being that kind of, you know, tattletale, but fuck them. And it's bringing me to my overall point. What, Jeff?
Why don't you go back to the secret donut place that you refused to tell anybody where it is?
I told you it's in Marietta. There's two
donut
of them.
Donut Dolly's.
Yeah, Donut Dolly's. There's one close. There's two close to you. One in Marietta. Donut
Dolly's, and those donuts that you showed me are not on either menu.
Well, they don't make the cannoli donut all the time, but they have several others that are really good. The cereal bowl donut's really good. The donut with the Fruit Loops on it.
They're like Revolution. Some days they have this kind of donut, and some days they don't.
Yeah, and they're better than, I think they're better than Revolution and what's the other one called?
Sublime.
Sublime, yeah. They're both really, really good, but I really, really like the Donut Dolly's product. And there's one right off of Howell Mill near you, Jeff. It'd take you 10 minutes, maybe.
I know, but they don't have those donuts that you showed me, so I know you got them someplace else, and you just refused to tell everybody where it is.
That is not true. I even offered you, and you didn't want them. Nah. I don't want them for free. I want to be disappointed in a week when they don't have them.
I like
I got a good one right up the street from us.
Which one is that?
Donut King, but it's independent. Yeah, a couple of runs it. They've ran it for years, but they always have beignets.
Sausage rolls there.
Yeah, they got those giant pigs in a blanket, different kinds. Yeah. But they got a maple and bacon donut that's really good. It's got big hunks of bacon on top.
Is that owned by Asians?
Yep.
Yeah. No.
No?
Or it may be, yeah. Ours isn't. Our location isn't. But yeah, it may be nationwide. I'm not sure.
Well, there's near us, there's Sweet Hut, where I went with Sean, one of our listeners. I believe it's called Sweet Hut, and they have really good food and really good donuts and stuff. And then there's a place near us called, I think it's just called Donut Spot or something. They're all really, really good, but they're all owned by Asians and the donuts are amazing. I don't know why anybody, look, Dunkin' Donuts doesn't make donuts anymore, do they? I mean, it's try our shitty food, try our 8,000 super sugary syrupy drinks. Do you have donuts? No. They used to have all these really good donuts at Dunkin' Donuts and they don't have them anymore. No, they don't even make them at the stores anymore either. They just show up made. Here you go, here's your donuts.
Yeah, their donuts are not very good. No. I love Sweet Apple Donuts.
Sweet Apple.
In Alpharetta, they're off of Union Hill, Guinness Ferry. Oh my God. Well, they get rated number one apple fritter in the state, like every year. Mm. But they have killer donuts. But Sweet Apple Donuts, if you've never been there in Alpharetta, awesome. And I love Dutch Monkey, but it's just so freaking far away.
Oh, I had a Dutch monkey once, but it had nothing to do with donut. I knew it. But the you know, I'm happy that there aren't a lot of Krispy Kremes, because if there were, I would be in a sugar coma every day. Because if they're hot and fresh, I could eat a whole. I have eaten a whole box of. I'm not in about 20 years, but I have eaten an entire box of hot donuts from Krispy Kreme, and it made me sick. But
well, the cornhole me on Saturday. I went through there. I thought I was going to get my Reese's classic with the stuff. You know, it has like the Reese's peanut butter in the middle of it. Yeah, and yeah. They totally, there was no filling.
Oh,
so it was just like a husk, a donut husk.
That's not good.
It was very upsetting. And then they gave me like one little mongoloid donut. It was like,
why did you set us up for stuff we can't go?
Just saying, like,
you can't say the M word.
Yeah.
Not live yet.
Is that bad? You're not allowed to say mongoloid?
Are you talking about Genghis Khan?
Okay.
He was a mongoloid, Genghis Khan.
He made donuts.
Yeah, he was the horseman from the steppes of Mongolia who conquered the entire Eastern world. In fact, almost conquered all of Europe. So if that's how you felt, and that donut was conquering Europe and East Asia, I applaud that donut.
That's not what I meant, I guess.
You got your donut out of a yurt. You went to donut yurt.
It was a small donut. It was not like the others. And it should have been thrown in the trash. And instead they put it in
the box. It was the other M word.
I did not know that was a slur, other you guys. M-word. I really didn't know that was a slur.
Oh, the other. Oh, Jeff, yeah.
What Dunkin' Donuts used to call their donut holes?
Munchkins?
Well, they used to call them something else before they called them munchkins.
They do still call them munchkins.
What did they call them? Midgets.
They did?
Back when they first started?
I don't remember that. Dunkin' Midgets?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that. Wow. Holy cow.
Now that's a slur.
Yeah, that's totally a slur.
That's like something my dad did in high school.
We're going midget dunking over at the Chattahoochee. Bring your midget. That's terrible, terrible. So anyway, go to Donut Yurt and get screwed on a donut. Like, don't get that. So where was this, Krispy Kreme or the place in Alpharetta?
Everything in Snellville is, I don't know if you live in Snellville, but if you do, then you know that everywhere you go, you're going to get treated like garbage. Trash. It's the worst customer service, bar none, all the way up and down Scenic Highway. They've all made a deal with each other to treat everyone like shit that the way nobody expects anymore, except for Culver's. Culver's is like it's like Pleasantville. I don't understand where they get these kids from.
That where we met up for
They're
lunch.
Incredible.
Culver's, the place that's a diner.
Who?
You and I met up and had lunch about a year ago at this place.
Not at Culver's, though.
Okay.
No,
but Culver's, has the custard.
Yes. You like you are every kid that works there, they're all, yes, ma'am. No, no, sir. Yes, ma'am. And they're just phenomenal. Chick-fil-A would be secondary.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, they're Culver's, comparable to Chick-fil-A employees for sure.
And it's pricier, but it's worth it. I'd rather go there and not get treated like garbage, so.
All I know is when you go there, it makes you. When you go to Dunkin' Donuts these days, it makes you want to follow an Italian guy through that drive-thru. That's all I'm saying. Also saying thank you to Jeff and Steph and Dustin for working so hard on our upcoming serial podcast about the Syracuse Slasher. Finger Lake Sam, right? The Syracuse Slasher?
No, it's Syracuse Sam, the Finger Lake Slasher.
Yeah, that's what I...
You said Finger Lake Sam.
Oh, Syracuse Sam, the Finger Lake Slasher. Well, you know, I can't wait till we get working on that and get that delivered to you. We got to figure out a way how to do that. But just, you know, as long as you're not Italian or going through a drive-thru, you know, ERA, you know. I tried to explain it to my dad what it was, and yeah, I think he got it. But I said, do you want to do this? He goes, whoa. Oh, you probably have to give me a script.
We did.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to email it to him and then go out there and record it. But you know, stay tuned because we'll get to working on it pretty soon, or won't we?
I can't wait to dive into the mind of the slasher.
Same here. He's got a crazy mind, a lot going on in that head of his. I want to get to the very nitty gritty of. So, kind of explain a little bit what it's going to be like.
Jeff.
It's a true crime podcast from your friends at Radio Labyrinth.
Now, are we going to put it on a different channel? Because I don't mind doing that.
We could give it a shot. I don't know where we host it.
Oh, we could host it on Audio Boom, like our podcast. Or should I just put it in the channel? You think people would care if it's in the channel or in the feed?
Put it in the channel and put it at separate.
Hey, you got Mike TV in that channel. I don't think they're going to care if you got this one in there. Hey,
that's the number one podcast in all of Atlanta, though. Yeah, it's not nice to make fun.
Well, if you're interested, it's Syracuse Sam. He was convicted of 13 murders. Mm-hmm. So each episode, we're going to go into each one of his victims that he was convicted of cracking the skull with a hammer.
Rumor has it, though, he may have killed more people that we don't know about.
But we'll get into that.
Yeah, he might be able to tell you where some of them baddies is.
You know, we'll get to the bottom of it. We'll have to just rack him with questions and see if we can get him to maybe admit to some of the ones they didn't get him for.
That's my hopes with this podcast. I mean, is you got to there's lose. A lot of bodies out there.
No, he's in there. Yeah, he's not coming out.
As long as I don't have to go to Dannemora, I'm fine. My dad told me they used to call the guards that worked there yesterday. Yeah, he said they called them ice heads. I said, why'd you call them ice heads? He said, because they're so cold in there. Oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. Ice heads. Hey, Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, who are open. And you can go to their website and find out all that information. You can go in there, sit down, have yourself a nice, delicious meal, bring the family. They have a great staff and a great owner. Atlanta Pizza in Gyro. Their website is atlantapizzagyro.com. You can order online and when you order online, you can do pickup or delivery, and you don't have to pay till you get there. So don't worry about that. You don't have to pay ahead of time. Atlanta Pizza in Gyro wants to thank everyone who has been supportive to them and to other restaurants through these tough times for the entire industry. And listen, if you have been to Atlanta Pizza in Gyro, I implore you, please leave a review on Google. And we can't forget our friend Brett Perkins, who I did reach out to.
Brett Perkins, I said.
But I haven't heard back from him. Get Brett Perkins, I said, the super across the way. And his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They have all of your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Thank you, Jeff. So anyway, speaking of Mike TV, the number one fan is now back on Team Radio Labyrinth. Roby Neely returns to producer status. Please give him a thank you.
Thanks, man.
Yay.
And one more update on the show. Next week, Radio Labyrinth is changing. Let me tell you, don't be afraid or anything. It's nothing drastic. We are going to be doing two shows a week and splitting it in half. You'll get, all the same entertainment you're used to, but it'll just be condensed a little bit more. And that's so we can be more, I don't know, current on certain things and just provide more content. I think that's the key to everything. You know, we won't get 2-3 hours. You know, we're not Joe Rogan. And then, you know, you won't get 4 hours of, hey, how you doing, Alex Jones? So you get, I mean, I like that, but a lot of people don't. So, and then if we do an interview with somebody, that'll be a separate video as well. So we'll have channels, and Dustin's just been kicking ass on the YouTube page. And,
yeah, he has.
And yeah, so we're going to utilize all that, and hopefully you guys will come on board with us and enjoy that as well. Yeah, because, you know, like we spoke last week about all these shows that are on my list to watch. And I turned on the TV the other day and I said, let's see. I went to On Demand to watch episode 1 of season 1 of Forged in Fire. And then I saw commercials. I'm like, I can't do commercials. So I found on Netflix, they just have season 6. So that's where I started with Forged in Fire. And I think when I finally touched the remote, I had gone through 6 or 7 episodes. The show is awesome. I love it. It's so simple. And it's so cool. The guys making the knives and gals making the knives, working their asses off, and the hosts are all entertaining in their own right. Of course, my favorite is the same as everyone else, I guess. Doug Marcada, is that his name?
Yeah, Doug Mercado. Yep.
Doug Mercado. He's the guy who goes, it will kill. It will kill.
And he's so happy. But he's so happy about it too.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and I love to watch those guys. They cut stuff. Like he goes crazy and cuts the pigs and stabs the bodies. Those I don't know what they're called.
The ballistic dummies.
Ballistic dummies. Yeah, and then he sticks his hand. Oh yeah, and the blood comes spurting out all over it. Also, like Dave Baker, he's the historical metal weapons guy.
Not Dave Baker from WSB Radio. You know, he's a home fix-it guru. He tells you all about your roof and your cellar and your basement and all that other crap.
No, this is a different Dave Baker, and he's kind of an eccentric type, I would say, with the mustache and the clothes and the pocket watch and the vests.
He'll wear a kilt from time to time.
Yeah, I saw him wear a kilt. Yeah, so he's an interesting fellow. Also, like the main host, who for all the original seasons is Will Willis. And I understand that as I progress, he's gone.
He is this season. In this new season, he's not on there.
So is it 7 or 8?
I think it's 8 now.
8, okay. So I got a lot to watch. Got tons and tons to watch. Grady Powell is the name of the new host. I don't know anything about him, but I'm sure I will because I'm not going to stop watching it. And even Caitlin came out. You know, we watch one reality show together, sometimes two. I'll sit and watch Real Housewives of Orange County with her just because I like all those disastrous women. But we watch Below Deck, and that show's sometimes crazy. You know what's even happening to me now? I'm watching the after show, and I never do that. But now I'm watching this after show where all the other cast members, and they're all being snarky, and Andy Cohen is the host. And I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm like, no, I actually don't mind this. What's wrong with me?
I don't know, Tom. I really
don't know. The after show, have you checked out that David Spade after party show on Netflix?
No.
It's only 2 episodes deep so far.
What's that
it's like they took his Comedy Central show that got canceled and moved it over to Netflix. So now he's just allowed to talk about Netflix shit.
Oh.
Fortune Feaster and some other chick are hosts with him. And
oh, Fortune Feaster, like, hilarious.
Yeah, they had like the whole cast of Karate Kid on the first one.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I think it comes out every week.
But back to Forged in Fire real quick. Ben Abbott is the guy I like. So apparently he's won a couple, and then they made him a host or a judge.
Yeah. When you go back in the day, you get to watch him win that first one, and then he comes back for a Champions episode, and then he wins that one too. But yeah, he's amazing. What I love, we were talking about this in the shack too, because Mary Berger Fouquet, I always say, is it Fouquet? I'm not sure. But she brought it up because she really likes this show too. One of my favorite things is at the end, whenever they go to their home forges and you get to see, you know, some guy who's in a shack. He's got like a hammer.
Yeah.
And like a hot box. And then the other dude's got this big warehouse. He's got a digital forge, you name it. He's got all the expensive shit. And then the guy who has nothing ends up beating him or making this beautiful sword, whatever it is. And just the challenges at the end of every episode. It's a different historical weapon that they have to create. And some of the times whenever they pull off the red cloth, I'm like, holy shit. How the hell is he going to make that?
I'm waiting for Bonged in Fire.
Bonged in Fire?
The dude's got to blow a bong every week.
Oh, they could do that. You know, blowing bongs. That could be a reality show. Bong blowers. Where they just making the bong. Well, I don't think you use tempered glass very well, because this bong, when I dropped it, broke. So, like, if you drop your bong and it doesn't break, then I think you might win the contest. Everybody's got to drink their bong water, and whoever finishes it first, because this bong here has been sitting behind a radiator for 6 months with bong water in it. So drink this.
It will kill.
Yeah.
No, it'd be like this. It'd be like a this is killer.
We'll get high. Oh, God. I knew people who used to say that if you drink bong water, you'll get high. I never put that to the test. I did drink chew spit once accidentally. That was fun.
Nasty.
Jeff and I were playing pool or video games or something at an arcade, and I went to reach and get a soda, and I take a big sip of it, but it was a cup full of chew and spit. Oh, that was nice.
I'm good enough with the fact, you know, how you'd scrape and you'd get like a resin ball together because that's all you had.
Yeah.
And it was so harsh.
My first pipe was a brass chamber pipe that I bought at a dildo shop in Elmira, New York. I mean, they
it's
had
just a dildo shop. That's all they sell. It was just
paraphernalia too.
Yeah, they had paraphernalia.
Doug's dildos.
Yeah, Doug's dildos and bangs. Come on down to Doug's, right on Lake Street, across from Heseltine's. No, it was a head shop, but it was a dirty bookstore. Like it had on the outside, it had all the dirty bookstores back in that day. They had the X's out front, and they were black and yellow. And then there were pictures of the porn movies they had inside. So it was all porn. And then in the back, they had the creepy booths where, you know, dudes go to do what dudes do. And
Jack Shack.
Well, yeah, they have holes in the side. Anyway, whatever. You know what goes on back there. Anyway.
Is it glory holes? Absolutely glory holes in there?
No fisting.
No fisting? Well, you can't get your fist through the hole.
No, baby fist.
No fisting.
It says no kissing.
Oh, pissing.
Oh, piss. Yeah, oh, gross. Yeah, that's the
least. Y'all had the weirdest urinals back there I've ever seen.
Yeah, God, you put your quarter.
Where do you put the puck?
Anyway, so it was a dildo shop basically, but they also had, you know, pot and stuff. I got thrown out of there one time for asking for a bong. That's not what they're called. Get out. But anyway. But that was my first pipe. It was a brass one. So whenever I would be able to scrape up enough money to buy weed, I would open the chamber and I'm going to put this nugget in here, or bud, put this bud in here, and then we're going to smoke, and then it'll collect all the resin, and then after the weed's gone, we'll smoke this resinated one. It never tasted good ever. So I guess that's all a myth. But did you ever get high off that little ball of resin?
Oh, I mean,
I had to.
It was all I had, you know. Maybe I would drink like a 40 of St. Ides.
There you go.
And you just didn't know. Then you just didn't know what it was. But you were messed up. Was it from the resin ball? Was it from the Ides? Who knows?
Well,
the Ides is the only thing that could get that taste out of your mouth.
Well, not the only thing. I mean, you could go in the back of the adult bookstore.
Doug's dildo shop. Yeah. There's a hole back there.
Yeah.
I remember I was at a party one time and there was so much Ides of flowing. It was just everywhere. And then a fight broke out. And I just remember this kid came running through the middle of the living room and he was bleeding. And he's just going, I split my wig.
There's an adult bookstore in the Twin Tiers area of Pennsylvania, New York that I've been prank calling on and off for about 12 years. And I have all of them. And I always call and ask the same thing. I'm like, how many people can I go back here with? And the guy's like, just yourself. Yeah, can I bring a friend? Can you watch? And I just keep asking silly questions. And finally, the guy goes, yeah, you can do whatever you want, man. Just, you know, keep it back there. And I'm like, all right, I look forward to meeting you. And the guy goes, yeah, me too.
So you could have potentially show up with like all of us from Radio Labyrinth and he would be fine with that.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Radio Labyrinth. Wow, it's my favorite podcast. I listen to that while guys are beating off in the back.
What? That's the best podcast to listen to while guys are beating off in the back.
Yeah, it is. Oh, Jeff, there's another witty one from Jeff. Oh, I miss Ira. I used to shoot. Anyway, all right, done with that.
Zing.
Zing, 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 zing. So anyway, there's that.
Now's the time we thank all of our Radio Labyrinth producers. Producer is a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member who donates $25 a month or more to our podcast. So, without further ado, thank you, Chad Shepherd, who is also a sponsor, who comes in at the $50 mark, and we appreciate it very, very much. Chad has been a member since October 6th, 2017, and we love you for it. Also, thank you to Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom. Eric has been with us for almost 4 years. John Sutherland, member since 2018. Keith Tate, since October 14th, 2016. Matt Carter, since November 12th, 2016. Mike D, since August 1st, 2018. Tim Slayton, Sean Hall, since April 22nd, 2018. Todd Ellis, a member since January 19th, 2020. He's the youngest one. And last but not least, Emily Warren, who joined up on May 19th, 2018. Thank you to each and every one of you so very much.
So, Dustin, what's the latest? Any latest news or anything?
Well, we got a couple of whodieds this week.
Yeah.
Let's see. First, we had, unfortunately, we had Marion Ramsey, Hooks, from the Police Academy movies.
Don't move.
She was 73
years old. I loved that character, and I didn't know she'd done a whole bunch of other acting as well, but she...
Yeah, she was a Broadway star.
I didn't know that.
Well, which was... Yeah, and where she had resided, she did 6 of those movies.
Damn.
That she was in. And that's what she's most known for, but Bob, she did a lot more. I mean, as she loved piano, she loved singing. She was a jazz pianist. So, I mean, it's a large loss to the community there. She also helped, you know, with philanthropy around the entire scene. So it was, she worked with Cosby on The Cause. Remember that variety show he had for a little while?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She was on there. But I think she started on the Jeffersons. That was her first in 76. She was, okay. She had a guest spot on the Jeffersons.
Oh, she was dating fake Lionel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I call him fake.
That was her real voice, right? That high voice. Or was that just for Police Academy?
No, that was her Hooks voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She would, one lady said that she would use it. She would use the voice just to, it would key, as soon as people heard the voice, they knew exactly who she was. And I'm sure that had some, that's the merit through the 80s and 90s, I'm sure.
Hmm. Well, she was great. That first Police Academy movie was hilarious. And the second one's not so bad either, but the first one was a hilarious movie, and it holds up. I haven't seen it in probably 10 years, but it still holds up, I think.
Oh, it does, Mahoney.
Yeah, the first one, second one was good. The Citizens on Patrol, that was probably my favorite. I think just with Bobcat and everything.
It wasn't in the first one, right?
It started to go downhill after 2, but they had 7 that were in the theaters.
Yep.
Or at least 7.
Was the Moscow one in the theater, or was it straight to video?
Moscow
were in the theaters.
Who was in that one? Jesus God, the first one had a great cast. Yeah, no shit. Linda Eastbrook was in the first one. She then I saw her on Laverne and Shirley, and then that was it. You had Dr. Big Dick. What's his name? The star of the movie, Steve Guttenberg. Yeah, the comedian,
Michael Winslow.
Yeah, Michael Winslow. Michael, mm-hmm. Who, by the way, is creepy. I remember he was on the Regular Guys show, and this was in 2000 to 2003, the Regular Guys radio show in Atlanta. He came on as a guest, and then he was obsessed with one of the female interns, and he called the station all day to ask when she got off. It's crazy.
Did he do it like... I mean, did he really call, or did he just...
No, he really called. Yeah, he really called in his creepiness. Yes, yes, yes. Michael Winslow. A lot of people. Tim Kazurinsky is in that movie. Him from Saturday Night Live.
Nevermore.
Colleen Camp.
Colleen Camp, yeah. Lassie from Porky's. No, it wasn't Colleen Camp. It was... it's not Colleen Camp. It's... who is it? It's... what's her face from Sex and the City? Kim Cattrall. Yeah.
Kim Cattrall, but Kim Colleen Cattrall. Camp wasn't in it too? Or she's in number 2.
Is she? Oh, she replaced her. Yeah, you're right. She replaced her. Yep, that's right. Because Kim Cattrall went on to do such wonderful movies as
Mannequin.
Mannequin. Yeah, there you go. Speaking of Sex and the City, I heard it's coming back. So anyway, rest in peace.
Without her, though, everybody else.
Well, they don't like her anymore, do they?
I guess not.
She hates SJP. She hates her.
Oh, she does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The passion.
Well, God, I can't wait to see what those ladies are up to now.
It's going to be like dried up Sex in the City. I don't know exactly what they're coming with. I mean, it was different when they were like in their 30s and it was like, woo. And now they're like in their 50s. What are they doing?
Is Big going to be on the show?
I mean, he's old as dirt, too.
I don't know what happened in the last movie. I never saw it.
Oh, anyway, I didn't see it either. Rats. I guess I'm going to have to get caught up. Who else passed away?
We also lost Tommy Lasorda.
Oh, that's right.
He was 93 years old. And I mean, that's what, 50 years?
Run. Yeah, if you've been a been a baseball fan since as long as I have, or paid attention to it since the 70s, he's ubiquitous as far as it goes. He was on the Johnny Bench show every week, the Wizard of Baseball. A very philanthropic kind of guy, right?
LA
Dodgers. Was in everything. He was one of the first that I remember as far as being a commercial pitcher for the game in pop culture.
Yeah.
So if there was a baseball reference in a movie, throw Tommy Lasorda in there, it's a guarantee that, you know, it would work. And he used it. I mean, all those 80, you know, sitcoms, he would pop in all the time.
What's that line? Honestly.
Hey, you and Tommy Lasorda?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate Tommy Lasorda.
He punches the picture of him with the... Anyway, sorry, Dustin, stepped on what you were saying.
Oh, no. I just, he passed a sudden, he just heart attack at his home. It seems to be a cardiopulmonary arrest. So it seems like his heart just gave out.
He was having heart problems for a while. I think he had some surgery and then he went home and then he just passed.
Yeah, he got out just in time to see the World Series.
And the Dodgers win.
To win the World Series. Yeah. And then he passed shortly there.
He won a couple. Did he not? He won the one where Kirk Gibson hit that home run. Didn't he? Didn't they win that World Series? And I know they beat the Yankees in 1981. Of course, lost to them in 77 and 78. And there's a treasure trove of audio of him losing it with pitcher Doug Rao. If you go to YouTube, it's one of the funniest videos. I feel pretty good.
You sent me that. That was hilarious.
The pitcher goes, I feel pretty good. I don't give a fuck how you feel, TJ. You can't get these fucking left-handers out. Or Doug, I don't give a fuck how you feel. You can't get these guys. That fucking Reggie Jackson hit a fucking home. Thelma. The TJ line is when he loses it with a reporter. Put that in your fucking paper, TJ. Fuck you. And then there's, the Stern producers years ago took that, cut it up, and made a prank call out of it. So there's a great prank call where they call a mechanic shop. Fuck you, TJ. And there's also a stuttering John interviewing Tommy Lasorda. I mean, there's a lot of great shit like that. I love watching these guys who if you didn't work in the baseball industry or you weren't a writer or a reporter or whatever, you didn't know that these guys were losing it and swearing. But you can find it all now. The Cubs manager, Lee Elia, who hated Chicago fans, you can find that. He's just because they played day games and he goes, all we got is these fucking losers that don't have jobs sitting there. Come to the fucking game. And then you had Earl Weaver. You know, he was classic. He would always lose his shit. He was the Orioles manager. Billy Martin. I'm sure they still do it, but it's kind of not the same because you can hear it now if people swear on the microphone. But from a different era and a really classy, old-timey baseball guy and definitely will be missed.
Yeah, a player swore in that Tennessee Titans game the other day when I was watching.
A player what?
There was a flag on a play, and the ref, I took a few seconds to say what had happened. I forget what it was, but dude went out of bounds on his own or something, and then the player was standing there, and he goes, what the fuck?
I heard, okay, yeah.
Out of the way real quick.
Yeah, what the fuck? Hey, it's going to happen in this day and age. And that was a game that was on Nickelodeon.
He got slimed.
Yeah, and it's the first time all getting back to football for watching those playoffs. The first time all season I've actually watched commercials in a football game because I watch Red Zone every week, and you don't have to see commercials. Boy, things are different these days with those commercials, aren't they? NFL.
I don't even pay attention.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
With just a lot of. First of all, I thought that after the runoff election that we wouldn't see any more political ads, but no, that's not the case. Hi, I'm Stacey Abrams for Fair Fight George. Oh, make sure that your vote works. I'm like, I get it, but please, no more politics. Please, please, please.
Why are they still running those? I mean, the election's over.
Well, she's actually wants you to make sure that your vote was counted. So, I mean, you should do that regardless of what politics you believe in. You should go, if you voted absentee or through the mail, you should go and make sure that it was counted. I mean, I did, and it was both times.
I was only able to check 11,000 of my 11,780 votes that I did.
Oh, okay.
So I checked 11,000 of them. 780 of them are still out there in the ether.
I think they got thrown away. I don't know what happened to them. What else is in the news?
Now, you know, I don't remember when I was a kid, there were very few things that I remember really enjoying. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I enjoyed was the Breyers Vienna pie. The Viennetta, excuse me. Yes,
my mom would get that and I'd eat half of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you got them on a regular basis?
My mom, yeah.
I mean, was it something you guys would get regularly?
Yeah, she'd buy that and pecan or butter pecan ice cream. And because she knew I didn't like butter pecan, that's why she bought that. She would buy things that she knew that I wouldn't like, so she would have them all to herself. Like she'd make iced tea and then put lemonade in it. I know that's what is that called? Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
They're remaking the Viennetta and it's coming back out again through Good Humor this time. Well, it was Breyers originally, but Breyers owns Good Humor now. So Good Humor's bringing it back in the States. So you'll get to have another one all to yourself.
Listen to me when I tell you that I am so excited about this. I wrote Breyers. This has been some years ago. What the fuck happened to the Viennetta?
You said, what the fuck happened to the Viennetta?
What happened to it? Because I was obsessed with it. Neil and I, that was our fatty delight. I would get one. We'd cut it in half. He'd eat half of it. I'd eat the other half of it.
Yeah.
And we loved it. I mean, that was like some of the best times of our youth when we first got together was splitting a Viennetta.
Nice.
That was when we were kids. We could only have one. We got them on our birthday. That was like ice cream cake. It was like it was your birthday. You got one of those and you just to yourself.
Yeah.
And you just eat it till you got sick.
Oh, God. They're so awesome because it has those little thin layers of the chocolate, crackly chocolate in between each deal. So I'm hoping that they do.
Fudgy the whale. Right.
Hmm? Fudgy the whale?
Mm-hmm.
I'll eat Fudgy the whale.
Fudgy the whale.
Never had one of those things. I don't know. I'm going to try one when they come back.
Well, I hope they do. Yeah, right. Or
Fudgy the whale.
I never had a Fudgy the Whale either.
Oh, I've had a Carvel ice cream cake. It's not very good.
It's really not.
I mean, aside from all the hype and all the commercials and all that in the 70s and 80s, seeing all those ads, they're not very good. The Viennetta is awesome.
Go ahead.
We had a Carvel cake at a work thing one time and nobody could eat it because you couldn't even cut it.
What was it? Pat Oswalt said you couldn't cut it with a lightsaber.
You couldn't cut it with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Dairy Queen ice cream cakes are the shit, though.
Dairy Queen is still pretty good.
They use soft serve, right? That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a place in Tucker that has custard, frozen custard, and oh, God. I haven't had it all year. Well, early in the year before I started the diet that I, you know, I'm on for work, but oh, my God. I got a chocolate custard ice cream cone. That shit good. I don't care what anybody says. Custard.
I want to be another thing when they come back, though. They look really good.
If anybody,
I don't know why I've never had one before.
I want to say, any of the listeners, if you see it out and you're about, you see the Viennetta, give us a shout. Let me know where it is. I'll drive I'll drive up to 20 miles to get it.
Me too.
I will.
It'd be about the length it would take for it to melt.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to eat it in the car, Dustin. I'm a classic, I'm a chronic car eater. I'll just eat it up there.
Oh, yeah. We're about to drive through. What's your
Viennetta car fries?
Oh, Viennetta, that's Italian, ain't it?
We don't want to get you stirred up, Sam.
Yeah, I don't really like killing ladies. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Dustin. Let's talk about what we watched and our staff picks. Now, I didn't really watch an awful lot because, like I said, I got obsessed with Forged in Fire, so I watched a lot of that. Also, continuing to watch Star Wars Rebels, which is a fantastic show. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it if you're a Star Wars fan and you're going through Mandalorian withdrawal, like everybody. Put it on YouTube Mix and watch a bunch of shit on there. Cobra Kai, I'm still catching up with season 2. Hopefully we'll have it done soon so I can dive into season 3. What else did I watch? Oh, God. Oh, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor was, I thought, very, very funny and very, very well done. Did you guys watch it?
Mm-mm. I enjoyed it.
I did too.
Last line was a prescription sandwich, I thought.
Nope.
Bobby Moynihan.
Oh yeah, Bobby Moynihan is fucking funny as hell. And it's a show. It's Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, right? The guys, they did all those shows like Kimmy Schmidt and Dirty Rock. The sad thing is because of COVID, it won't be coming back till 2021, which sucks.
We're in 2021.
Oh yeah, never mind. I'm stuck in an infinite loop. 2020 never ends. Shooting is scheduled to resume this month, and I'm thinking 2021. That's next year. No, it's not. But it is
lockdown now, so California's on lockdown, so they might have a little bit of a hiatus. But
yeah, it's weird that they've been on lockdown and they have the highest rate in the country. That's strange. Huh. Anyway, very very funny show. Holly Hunter is good. If you watch the second episode, she has an organization, I think. What's it called? PP Porn?
Yeah.
That's the initials, PP Porn. It's not what you think it is, but it was just funny to hear somebody say PP Porn. As funny as it was to hear Buck Henry say, you can't have a lemon party without old dick on 30 Rock. That's an inside joke if you don't know what lemon party is, but it's very, very funny. Ted Danson's great. There's a nice little story that he has his daughter. He's a single father. And they aren't, like, I had people asking me when I tweeted about it the other day, are they making fun of Trump or are they making fun of Biden? And I didn't answer that. Other people answered it. They're not making fun of either. It's just a show. Yeah. So you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
It's just a funny comedy show.
Yeah. It's fun to watch Ted Danson pretend to be high, too.
Yeah, yeah. And also they make fun of the culture, which is what shows are supposed to do. Like, without being insulting to millennials or people who are really into that social justice shit, they make fun of them, but not in a mean way.
He goes to a ribbon cutting at a dispensary and accidentally eats a bunch of edibles.
Yeah.
First episode.
Yep. That's the second episode.
Oh, the second episode.
Yeah. The first episode. They're both really funny. So give it a chance if you are into that kind of thing. That's pretty much it for me. That's all for me. I don't have a staff pick. Well, the Talking Sopranos last week was really, really good. Federico Castelluccio, is that his name? Anyway, Furio, the guy who played Furio, was on it, and he's a real interesting cat.
Ah, close to that. I like Furio.
Yeah, and he, of course, isn't really from Italy. I mean, he is, but he doesn't sound like he does on the show. But you find out how he got on the show, and those guys, I mean, again, it's just a great listen. Even if you don't like The Sopranos, those guys bust each other's balls. I think you'd have to like The Sopranos to watch that show, though. And speaking of that, Sopranos had a birthday, 22 years ago? Yesterday was the anniversary of the premiere. And one thing that Michael Imperioli, who played Christopher on The Sopranos, either he saw it or he heard from some people who got to see a screener of The Many Saints of Newark and rave reviews. These were diehard Sopranos fans who didn't know that they were going to see it. They all ended up going someplace and they got to watch it, and all of them just rave reviews. So I'm looking forward to that later this year.
Yeah, looking forward to that too.
Who wants to go next?
I watched all of History of Swear Words on Netflix. Did you guys watch any of those yet?
I started watching some of the fuck one.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I watched all of them.
It looks like a fun watch. Like, it's not that difficult to pay attention, and it's a quick show and funny.
Yeah. I watched that new Craig Ferguson hosted game show, The Hustler.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen anybody watch that?
Uh-uh.
What is it about?
They plant one person in the contestants that knows all the answers to the questions. And the other contestants have to, and then they ask them these trivia questions, and the person that knows all the answers tries to get the people to all agree on the answer, but they can't get caught.
Okay.
So they get like $10,000 for every correct question that they answer. And you're also trying to figure out who the hustler is the whole time.
Hmm.
Who the person is that knows all the answers. So it's pretty interesting. And Craig Ferguson is hilarious.
Craig Ferguson is great, yeah. I'll check that out, The Hustler.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was much better than that, The Chase, which was that game show with the three Jeopardy champions. I thought that was terrible. They pit him up against three normal people.
Oh, speaking of which, did you guys all watch the final Jeopardy with Alex Trebek last week?
I did not. It was too sad. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. And I teared. I had a little well up at the end. The tribute was very good. Very nice. Go ahead, Jeff.
I watched all of Survive. Speaking of Alex Trebek's passing, I watched all of Surviving Death on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
This documentary series about people that had near-death experiences and people that go to like psychic mediums and people like little kids that claim they've been reincarnated and know like a bunch of facts and shit about who they used to be.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting series. There's only six episodes, but I watched all of them. It was really good.
Cool.
I would listen to that Fantastic with Dana Carvey. That's kind of a mess, but I like listening to Dana Carvey just riff.
Why is it a mess? Because he's just riffing?
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't. This is the first episode of the thing. They don't introduce themselves. They don't say who they are. And it's like Dana Carvey and two other people, a lady and a dude, who I have no idea who they are, but they're just like shooting the shit with Dana and doing like we do to you. They're like throwing shit to him like, what would Jimmy Stewart think of that, you know?
Oh.
To try and get Dana Carvey to go off on his bits, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. It's fun. A fun listen. That's kind of a mess. Kind of like the Norm Netflix show was kind of a mess too.
Yeah. That'll never come back, which sucks.
No, I wish you would do a podcast or something. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't either.
And my staff pick is going to be WandaVision. Starts on the 15th.
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the hell out of that. Disney had a little commercial for it, basically, that they put out like 2 7-minute episodes. They're supposed to be featuring all the Marvel superheroes. But these first two episodes they put out were Wanda and Vision. So it's basically just a 14-minute commercial for WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking that'll probably just keep getting added to, yeah, for each new show that comes out. It'll kind of be like those Marvel handbooks they used to get where you'd have a page for each character and kind of give their bio and stats.
Oh, yeah, I love those books.
It'd be a video version. Yeah, those were always great because you'd find characters you had never seen before. In those, or at least
not bang ones. Boom.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
I just said thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you're welcome.
Dustin.
Yeah, mine real quick. I mean, I started watching Forged in Fire. I kind of watched it a couple of times, but I really kind of started paying attention this time. A lot of the same thoughts. I mean, it kind of has that same, you know, three judge. Chopped, the tattoo shows, they kind of all have this kind of same format. But it's so interesting as far as it being just something, you know, you wouldn't really think that you would enjoy watching until you get into it. And I liked it. I watched a couple episodes and definitely going to check out the rest. And I watched them on Netflix, but I'll probably go, after I finish those, I'll probably go digging and find the rest. Let's see. Also, I got a 7-day for the Showtime. So I started watching the Comedy Store doc and I got through the first episode of that and it was great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Man, so many people and you know, that they got, I think it was like 5 or 6 years they've been working on this thing.
Is that on CBS?
Yeah, I mean, you had
this too.
It may be because CBS on Showtime, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing how many interviews they have that have the same interview. You know, they kept that same look filming for so many years. You've got interviews with people that have passed, you know, a few years ago now, thrown in there. So it was kind of neat seeing some of these people and just how much it affected their life and the world at large. Also started Billions. You guys were talking it up so much. And yeah. I mean, watching those two go at each other, I mean, it just, they're just, you know, putting down an acting class when it comes to the performances. Giamatti's amazing. That first scene, just from the first scene where he's laying tied up on the floor And then it just kind of curtails at the end with, you know, the kiss and the wife. That kind of just set the mood for the show, I think. So I'm really interested in getting into the rest of it. So I know I've got a lot ahead of me, but
well, it gets so you'll go through it. When if you have time, you'll go through it so fast. I mean, I'm in season four now. I'm in like the middle of season four, but yeah, it's so
down.
The dialogue is so great.
There's only half of season five.
I know. Anyway, I'm glad you're watching it, man.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are raving so much and for good reason. It's just well done.
The HBO show that people compare to Billions? Because a lot of people say that Succession is better than Billions, but it's like the same kind of thing. But I had watched Billions already when Succession came out, and I tried watching Succession. Like, I watched maybe five of them, and I just could not get into it.
I but like really, Succession. I don't really get into it, but it's such a darker show. It's much darker than Billions. Billions is fun. It's a fun show to watch.
Yeah, I like the I like the character, the one from Band of Brothers. What's his name?
Damian Lewis.
Damian Lewis. He's really good. And the rivalry those two have, just, you know, is worth the watch alone. And that was really all I had. I watched. I didn't watch a lot this week, but my staff pick is a book. It comes out tomorrow. It's called Scorpion's Tale. It's by Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. They're the two guys that write the Pendergast FBI series. And this is an offshoot of that series. It's the second one in this new offshoot, starring two of the lesser characters from those books. And as much as I follow Stephen King and I follow these two guys as well. Speaking of which, I just finished The Long Walk, Stephen King. Have you guys read that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I found out they're actually making the production's going forward with a movie version of it. And it's the same, the Norwegian director that directed The Troll Hunter, fantasy documentary. He did that. He also did The Autopsy of Jane Doe with Brian Cox a couple of years ago. It was really creepy. It was a really good movie too.
Oh, speaking of
with the witch.
Just interrupting. Are anybody going to watch Clarice?
I might give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm not. No Hannibal Lecter, and she can't mention Buffalo Bill or Jack. Huh?
It's a network show, too, so I don't know how good it'll be. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, Dustin.
Oh, no. I just finished that The Long Walk, and it was really good. I like the Bachman era kind of a lot more of Stephen King stuff. And that one's a really, really good one, and I think it's going to transfer really good to a movie. I mean, the gist of, you know, that book is a dystopian reality. It's kind of an alternate reality from ours, where I think there was a different outcome to World War II. So the United States has become more of a totalitarian military ran country, where every year 100 teenage boys get picked from a lottery to walk from the Canadian border south. And if you walk 4 miles an hour, if you drop below 4 miles an hour, you get 3 warnings and then you're shot. And it's just seeing how far that, you know, who makes it the farthest.
They call it the bus that couldn't slow down.
Yeah, there's, and it's funny, the more and more I read Stephen King, I think that he is the backbone of almost every concept. Yeah, you
know, totally. Influencer all in like the Hunger Games and the Maze Runner and all that stuff.
All of that, just, you know, it all boils back to ideas that man had, and he is a national treasure for sure. But that's it. That's mine.
I hardly watch crap, really. I mean, just the same stuff I've been watching: Billions, Forged. I got back into Cobra Kai, and you're right, it gets much sillier, and I mean, it gets a lot more fun once he goes to Japan and all that, and Johnny.
And it's weird how much Japan looks like underground Atlanta.
It is weird, right? I love the scene whenever Miguel is helping Johnny get his little online profile, And Johnny brings all these pictures back from the 80s where he only has these ripped up tank tops and shit. I'm sure they were all his old Tiger Beat pictures or whatever, but oh my God, that's so funny. The only thing new that I watched was the Pitbull and Paroli's 2-hour season premiere. And, you know, they got hit by COVID. Obviously, it's been really hard on their rescue. So it was good, you know, of course, crying, whatever, but it was good. It was a good episode. And my stat pick, I haven't watched it yet. I meant to watch it last night, but I'm going to start it probably tonight, is the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO Max, which part one aired last night. Part two is tonight, Monday night, January 11th.
It's actually next Sunday.
Oh, I thought it was last night, and then part two is tonight.
Part one aired last night, part two airs next Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right, well, so you got time to catch up on part one before part two comes out next week, but all of the reviews that I read on it, it seems like it's going to be pretty juicy, because a lot of people say that he's going to be really pissed when he sees this documentary that's very salacious, but that it's pretty legit and very truthful. And I'm a Tiger Woods fan.
I think this first one's going to be about his youth and like the glory days of Tiger.
Yeah, they're showing him as a 2-year-old whenever he was on whatever variety show, some popular variety show when he was
Mike Douglas, or was it Johnny Carson?
Mike Douglas. Or Mike Wallace, or whatever the hell.
No, it would have been Mike Douglas.
Mike Douglas, then. Yeah. But they show like some famous clip.
Why are you forcing your child to learn how to play golf?
So anyway, Tiger.
I'm gonna check it out. I taped last night's, but I might wait and watch them both at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
It looks pretty good. So anyway, that's my staff pick.
What's going on with the puppies?
You know, I can't really foster right now, which it's killing me, because my dog is like, you know, getting ready to leave the world. Actually, that's coming out this coming Saturday. We'll be saying our goodbyes, but it's really killing me, because we need fosters so bad right now. The shelters are slammed. It's dumping season. Mm-hmm. It's worse now than it has been in probably a couple of years. So I think it also is attributed to people kind of losing their freaking minds right now too. They're just, I'm not really sure.
A lot of people adopted dogs during quarantine, right? And then now that they're out of quarantine, they're rethinking the adoptions.
Well, and there's always the Christmas dump, and this happens every year. They get puppies and they dump their old dogs at every single shelter.
Terrible.
If you can foster, even if it's for a couple of weeks or a week, or sometimes like that's all we need just to get them into another foster home, we would really appreciate it right now. And I also want to give a shout out to Jeff Lyle, one of our longtime listeners. He's an EMT in Walton County, and he was kind of telling me over the weekend that he was there. It's pretty rough out there right now. He's slammed with COVID and the hospital there, so he's just killing himself. And I just want to say Jeff is like he's like the nicest guy. He's been listening to us forever, and we really appreciate it. And he said that we brighten his day, take his mind off of stuff, and I want to say how much I appreciate all he does.
That's a very nice thing to say.
Yeah,
Jeff,
for sure.
And you know, keep at it, and thank you for working as hard as you do, and we'll try to make you laugh, because I know look, people that do what he does for a living are getting their asses kicked daily. And, you know, what do I have to complain about, right? So I'm not saying that he's complaining. I'm saying I have it pretty easy. It blows my mind. and the fact that the people that work in the industry that he works in, man, just constantly, 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 always busy, always facing some weird virus that we don't really know a lot about. So that may, you know, thank you, Jeff. That means a lot to me, is what I'm saying without going too long-winded. Sorry.
And he's a mega animal lover. He has a farm. And they have all kinds of animals on their farm. I always love seeing his pictures on Instagram and stuff.
Cool. What's his name on Instagram so people can follow him?
It's Winder Rider Farms.
Okay.
I think that's what he goes by.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Steph. And thank you, Jeff.
So barkfielddogrescue.org, if you can help, we'd appreciate it.
Woof. Hey, a couple things before we wrap up. Coming up soon, we will have an episode featuring the WKRP podcast hosts, Alan and Donna Stair. I look forward to that. That'll be a fun one. And we are going to have a secret contestant from our favorite Stabby show, Forged in Fire. One of our listeners is a contestant and is finding out when he can talk about it, right?
Yeah. He filmed an episode, but he can't talk about it yet because of his NDA, but I think he told you that as soon as he's allowed to, he's gonna come on here and tell us all about it.
So we look forward to that, and thank you for cluing in and being a fan. Unless there's anything else, you guys have anything else?
No, if we hear when that episode's gonna air though, before he's had a chance to come on, let us know so we can all watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Set our DVRs and whatnot. And keep an eye out for who.
Yeah, keep your ears open for Syracuse Sam.
I can't wait. Guys, I can't wait for you to hear what these three have been putting together for us to do. So it's gonna be hilarious. All right. Well, until next week, please remember to keep it canon.
And now we give a shout out to the rest of the donors. Aaron Roberts, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Malazzi, Brian Jackson, Brian Nix, Buck Monterey, Chris Cosentino, Dave Benson, Denise Reynolds, Gwyn Ketchum, Herb Lamb, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Turman, Jesse Rosinski, Mark Weiland, Randy Reeves, Robert Kearns, Kevin Stokes, Wayne Blair, Ashley Rose, Chris Knight, JW, Kevin Schwartz, Lou Caniglio, Mary Fouquet, Ryan Wilson, Sam Wells, Walt Murray, Bradley A. Schumpert, Brandon C. Pilcher, Dustin Lawler, Jason Heft, Nick Starks, Trent, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, David C. Funk, Lauren Calderman, Robert Haley, Robert Calderman, Sherry Dougherty, and Tim Slayton. Thank you all very much. We very much appreciate it, and thank you for sticking with us for so very long and all year in this crazy 2020 in which we live. Radio Labyrinth is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Well, the four of us, occasionally three, sometimes four, sometimes three, and is produced by you. For a complete list of Radio Labyrinth's awesome Patreon sponsors, just look at the show notes. Our intro theme was produced and performed by John Mark Lindell. Keep it canon.